Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT. If you watch or listen to conservative talk shows, you're familiar with Bernard Goldberg, author of best-selling books like Bias and Arrogance. Well, Bernard Goldberg finds a way to be culturally relevant even when he's reporting on sports, as just this year, he has been celebrated for his reporting expose of child slavery connected to, of all things, camel racing in the UAE, in the United Arab Emirates, one of the world's wealthiest countries. And now his latest hit, The 100 People Screwing Up America, has come out in paperback, and it's been expanded to 110 serious troublemakers. So, Bernard Goldberg, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on. And Mr. Goldberg, I'd really like to talk through your book. And we've seen you on TV a lot, and especially on Fox defending Ann Coulter.
Not totally. Your
criticism of her is identical to ours. While you said that Ann Coulter is a national treasure, we agree with that. And where you said you think she crossed the line, we agreed exactly with your comments.
Right. Yeah, what I said about Ann is that I agree with a lot of what she says about how silly liberals can be. Mm. I agree that they've turned liberalism into a religion, which gives them the right to feel morally superior and look down their nose at conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need the nasty comments about how some of the wives of the 9/11 victims are the happiest widows around.
Yeah, that
I think all that does is give ammunition to the kind of people who say, you see, that's how they all are.
It's valid to point out how the left, the media, will take these widows and use them as unassailable critics of the government.
That is legitimate.
That's legitimate.
Right.
To say that they're enjoying their husband's deaths was wrong.
That was precisely my point.
Yeah, and so we agreed with that, and that gives you a little idea where we're coming from. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk through maybe three of the people you identify of your list of 110 people ruining America.
Who is screwing up America?
Yeah, maybe three of those, and then I'd like to challenge you as to what would be required in order to actually keep a society civil and polite.
Great.
All right. The three I'd like to talk about are Michael Savage, Howard Stern, and Dr. Martin Haskell.
All right. Dr. Martin Haskell is not a household name, but he's a doctor, obviously, and he's a medical pioneer. Hmm. He pioneered a kind of procedure that some call late-term abortion and some call partial birth abortion. Let's not quibble over terminology.
Right.
But it is what it is.
He calls it.
Yeah, he calls it something that makes it really sound medical.
DNA, dilation and extraction.
Right. But what it amounts to is a procedure where an abortion could take place after eight and a half months, just at any point along the way. And it's just a terrible procedure. And we can argue about whether it should be allowed if a woman's life is in danger and all that. But that's not how it's primarily used. It's primarily used by people who sort of like have a last-minute change of heart. And, man, I mean, this is like we could have done without this procedure, I think.
We had just last week, we had one of the Columbine dads whose son, Danny Rohrbaugh, was killed by Harrison Klebold, had him on the show in studio. And, of course, Bill Clinton was out here this past week raising money for a Columbine memorial. And this dad and his wife is a registered nurse. And just a couple weeks after Columbine, Bill and Hillary came out. And the dad said in a group of parents, standing about 4 feet from the president, said, Mr. President, when you vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, you became responsible for killings of children far more violent than what happened to our children here at Columbine.
Wow.
And Hillary didn't respond, but Bill did, and he said, I had to. There was no exception for the life of the mother.
Right.
And that's when Lisa Rohrbaugh spoke up, and she said, I'm a registered nurse, and there is never a time when a mother's life is in danger that you would stop when removing the baby. You'd stop long enough to kill the baby. If the mother's life is at danger from the pregnancy, you would remove the baby. You don't remove the baby 90% of the way and then stop and add complication and kill the baby in order to save the mother. And so that, I do think, is unassailable logic to those who are defending partial birth abortion for the life of the mother. It makes no sense.
Right. You know, of all the people I've talked to about this book, the central theme of which is that the culture, it's not a book about politics, it's a book about the culture, the country that we live in, that the culture has gotten too angry, too nasty, and too vulgar.
Hmm.
And it happened fairly recently. But you're the first person who asked me about
Haskell.
About Dr. Haskell.
Well,
yeah.
let's go to Michael Savage.
Michael Savage is for those who don't know, is a very popular, very successful radio talk show host. He's syndicated nationally. I have received more criticism for
putting
him
in the book, right?
Yeah, from conservatives than even Judge Roy Moore, who you might want to get into also with me. But Michael Savage is not in the book because I disagree with his politics any more than Teddy Kennedy is in the book because I disagree with his politics.
Well, I saw the part that you report on when he had his short-lived show on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And I saw that live. I don't know if you saw it or you read the transcript.
I both.
Well, it was inexcusably cruel.
That's right.
Now, homosexuality, on this program, we talk about homosexuality in a traditional way that it is an unhealthy lifestyle, but what Michael Savage did was inexcusable. He said to a homosexual caller, and you quote him verbatim, he said, you should only get AIDS and die, you pig.
Yeah.
How's that? And that's cruel.
Right. And my point is that I may agree with Michael Savage on immigration or taxes or this or that. That's not the issue. That's fine. And even if I didn't agree with him, that's not the issue.
Hmm.
But I'm writing a book about people who are making the culture nastier than it needs to be, and that quote you just read is a pretty good example.
Well, after this all fell down on him, he tried to defend himself by saying that he didn't realize he was on the air.
Well, so what?
And that's no defense.
That's no, yeah, and you know, could you imagine if a Ku Klux Klan guy said,
right.
Well, I called him that, I called that black man the word, but...
Yeah.
I didn't know I was saying it in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, right, exactly. And aside from that, how could he not have known
of
he
course,
was on the air?
You see, if I had known he had said that, which I didn't,
yeah.
I would have put him in also for not having any courage.
Yeah.
Because that is a weaselly response. You know, I mean, at least have the guts to say, yeah, I said it, and here's why I said it.
Yeah.
There's no good explanation for saying something like that. But to say I didn't know I was on the air, that's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, that's sort of weaselly. Now, the last is Howard Stern. I've made my notes out of what you've identified.
Right.
He said,
well,
but why don't
Howard
you tell
Stern
us?
Is immensely, I mean, he calls himself the king of all media. I mean, he's immensely popular.
Yeah.
And you know what? The best I can figure, he's a bright guy. And he does say things that are politically incorrect that a lot of other people don't have the guts to say. And I give him credit for that. But who are we kidding here?
Well,
the reason people listen to him is because it's the sex jokes, it's the ridiculous stuff. It's stuff that I wouldn't even say on your program because I don't want to offend the people listening to us.
Yeah.
But he does that. By the way, I'm not the morality police. I don't want the cops to come in and shut his show down even before it went on satellite. I'm just saying if we care about the environment, shouldn't we also care about the cultural environment? I mean, isn't it interesting that people on the left say, well, we need to care about the environment. We live in this country. I agree. I totally agree.
Well,
let me just say this very, very briefly. They seem to think that what happens in the culture isn't that important. And I'm agreeing that that Howard Stern is not a terrorist. Terrorists want to kill us all, and do it as soon as they can. I'm not saying he or anybody else in the book is like that. What I am saying is that over the long run, they are doing our culture a lot of harm also.
Well, you point out how he mocks retarded people on his program.
Yeah.
Twice I was matched with ABC's Jimmy Kimmel when we were both guests on Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect.
Uh-huh.
And both times I got under his skin by observing that Hollywood forgets what an actual comedy is, and they've replaced comedians with crotch humorists.
Right.
And I said, Jimmy Kimmel, you are a crotch humorist. You know, your humor revolves primarily around bodily functions.
Right.
It's juveniles. It's stuff that makes 13-year-olds giggle in school.
Right, exactly.
And that's what it's become.
I know he didn't take that well.
No, it actually got him rather annoyed. And
can I make a point that I'm sure was a subtext of all of this from their point of view?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy who does the Christian stuff.
Yeah, well, right, exactly.
That's always the subtext, that, you're from Denver. Oh, yeah.
Well,
if you don't live in one of the, you know, on either coast.
In the blue states.
Yeah. If God forbid, you want to eat at a Red Lobster or go bowling.
Yeah.
Or, excuse my language, fly the flag on the 4th of July.
Right.
I mean, it's like, oh, there's squares out there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's what I don't like about the left these days, even when I agree with them on this issue or that issue.
And
what really bothers me is the elite snobbiness, the condescending way they look at regular Americans who live in places like where you are right now in Colorado.
We're talking to Bernard Goldberg, longtime best-selling author, about his latest book, and we're only talking of three of the 110 people who are really ruining our country. But as far as Denver, I don't know if you recall Denver's relationship with Howard Stern corporately, but after Columbine happened, Howard Stern was on cable in Denver and on the radio, and I never watched his show. We didn't have cable until the war broke out. But after Columbine, Howard Stern made a comment that he wanted to know if the murderers, Harrison Klebold, if they had raped the girls they murdered, and implied that they wasted their opportunity. And there was such outrage that he was canceled in Denver. And I think that kind of despicable talk, I mean, you could translate that to the Holocaust and Auschwitz.
Right.
And
all of this is the kind of talk that used to be the kind of stuff you'd say in a junior high school locker room. And now it's out in the public arena. Again, we may differ, you and I, and I may differ with a lot of people listening to us right now.
We do.
We do differ.
Yes.
Okay.
On a lot.
But we do it in a civil way.
Right. And I'd like to get to some of that. And here's what I want to ask you, Bernard Goldberg. I want to ask you what you think is involved in keeping a society civil, because as I understand the history of humanity in our country, and I've traveled around the world, it seems to me that there is a lot involved in keeping a society civil, and that I'd like to challenge some of your own views and get you to consider the things that you think are acceptable. They were part of the process that brought us to this nightmare today. So what do you think it takes?
Well,
to keep
let me answer it that way, and then
civil.
And I'm curious to think how I may have made things worse. But
yeah.
But let me answer it this way. I'm going to read you just one paragraph, the very last paragraph in the book. It says, "So what is it that so many ordinary Americans want? It's actually pretty simple. We want a little more appreciation for the values that most of us, liberals as well as conservatives, Democrats as well as Republicans, used to take for granted: civility, mutual respect, semblance of decency, and yes, a little old-fashioned love of country, too. Is that asking too much?" So what I'm saying, Bob, is that to me, it isn't all that complicated. It's if two people disagree, one on the right and one on the left, don't call somebody a Nazi.
Well,
don't call somebody a liar. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take money to fix this problem.
Now, Bernard,
it takes a little decency.
All right, Bernard Goldberg, please weigh this without just rejecting it. But that recommendation to me sounds a little bit like Rodney King. Can't we just all get along? And the answer is, no, we can't all just get along. In fact, through history, we've seen that strong institutions are required to keep people civil. And as the strength of those institutions, which are designed to restrain our behavior, as they get weaker and they lose their moral footing, then the culture becomes increasingly vulgar.
Okay.
All right. Nope. And so I'll have some examples.
Go ahead.
Of where I think you've let us down.
Okay.
All right.
And before you give them to me,
yeah.
I am willing to accept that I might not agree with the terminology, let us down, but I know what you mean by that, and I'm willing to accept, yeah. I want to say this right up front, that not only will there won't be two people in the whole country who agree with all the names on the list,
right.
I'm willing to accept that smart people like you, and I mean that seriously, I don't mean that in a wise guy way, but decent smart people like you will not agree with everything that I say, but as long as we don't start calling each other names,
yeah.
at least we're on the
we should be
track to listening to each other and considering, you know, I'll consider yeah. everything you say and think about it.
Well, I appreciate that. And we should be able to be respectful. I mean, there is a threshold. For example, when people say we should lock up Jews and kill them, then there's no need for civility in your opposition to that.
That's right.
Yeah, so
that's
there's
right.
a threshold,
okay.
but
so
generally.
What, so where did,
okay.
so I'm laughing, but
right.
respectfully, where
yeah.
did I cross the line?
Okay, well, you say, for example, that the lawyer on the plane in Newark, New Jersey, said the F word
right.
for the whole plane to hear, and nobody really cared.
Right.
And you said, you know, that's terrible that we would say that openly like that. And then you reminded the reader that the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney,
right.
said in a private conversation to a lawmaker,
right.
he said, go, you know, and
like
he used
yourself.
The F word.
Right.
And you defended that.
That's right.
And I think that that's not the fundamental problem, but that's a symptom when our highest governing officials will be offended by people on the right for being extremely crude in their personal right. discourse, then you're asking the unreasonable. You're asking for people on the left and people who couldn't care less to be polite and civil in public discourse, and you're defending the Vice President of the United
right, right,
States
right, right, right.
for that most crude conceivable comment.
2 points. One, we obviously don't agree. That's not one, but
yeah.
what I'm about to say will indicate that we obviously don't agree. I think, unlike you, I don't want to get into what people say privately. The issue to me here is public versus private. I'll be as honest as can be. I won't even, you know, hedge to say, well, I sort of see your position. Do you see mine? I'll give you in a declarative sentence. I don't care how people talk privately. I don't care. Let them do whatever they want.
All right. And Bernard Goldberg.
When that becomes public, when a guy on an airplane starts talking on his cell phone, dropping the F-bomb so that the whole airplane can hear it, that's different than one person saying something that you might not approve of privately to the other person. It only became public.
Right.
It only became public. Dick Cheney said it to Senator Patrick Leahy.
Yeah, and he went
when
to the
Patrick
media.
Patrick Leahy went to his pals in the press with it is the only reason we know about it.
All right. Well, now let me illustrate from your own book the slippery slope you're on in not disapproving that kind of personal behavior. You say that, hey, if we lost the family hour on TV, that's gone.
That's a public thing, too.
Yeah, and Janet Jackson flashes her skin.
That's a public thing,
during
too.
The Super Bowl. That's despicable. But you said if they want to flash, if these young actresses want to flash a late-night TV host, I don't have any problem with that. It's just the family hour you want to protect.
Yes, what I was saying there is, I don't know that I said I don't have any problem with it. I said, in other words, when they do it on the Letterman show, you don't see it. But trust me, you don't see it because it's on at midnight. They still bleep it out. But what my point was, if they want to do it at midnight, you know what? It's not that I approve of it. It's like, you know, I mean, I live in the real world. But when you do this on Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, of course, that's more
it's a
egregious.
Big difference.
But then let me give you another example of your slippery slope. So you point out how sexually vulgar and despicable Howard Stern is.
Yeah.
And then you say, but hey, he's on the airway, even before he went on satellite, he's on the public airways,
yeah.
And you said he's even on in the morning. So it doesn't really matter whether it's morning, whether it's TV, radio, late night, whether it's the Vice President of the United States saying the most despicably crude thing. You've bought into a worldview that says our culture needs to accept people being sexually vulgar, but I just want to put it in this little box. And
yeah,
I want
guess,
it to be in my comfort box.
You know what? Give me a little credit for not being a weasel. Yes,
yeah.
You're right. I'm saying if people in their house want to talk in a certain way, hopefully not in anger, but they're talking in a vulgar way, not my business.
Well, and
I am not the church
yeah,
lady,
right.
And I am not the morality police, I don't want to be either.
That's a red herring, because certainly on this show, I've not advocated putting microphones in people's homes.
No, but what I'm saying, Bob, is I understand why
radio.
Some people would be offended by it, because they're offended by the very language.
Radio.
And I'm saying, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not hedging. I am not.
I realize
what I
that.
Am offended by is when it is in the public.
Well,
radio,
you accepted it, Howard Stern, on morning radio when kids could be going to school and turn
How did
on,
I accept it on morning radio? Read what I said.
You quote it. You even put in parentheses, even morning radio. You said, I accept him being on even morning radio.
No.
Yeah.
What page is that on?
All right. It's on page 140.
Give me a half. Keep talking until I find page 140.
All right. I'll talk, and I don't want to run out of time because I have a few more examples.
Okay. Well, hold on. Where is it on the
all
page?
All right. Bottom of the page.
Okay. None of this means?
Yeah.
None of this means that I think Howard Stern should be taken off the air for indecency. That's not what this is about at all. This is a very big and very free country, and people should be allowed to say almost anything, even on the radio. I'm afraid, you left that out, even I'm afraid in the morning, meaning that in a big free country, you should be able to say things that you and I don't like. You should not, however, you should be allowed to say it without the implication, is without the police coming in and arresting you.
So, Bernard.
But it's not good. In other words, can we agree on this? There are certain things that reasonable people like you, I hope, to some extent like me, like I, would prefer people not do, but we don't want to see them arrested for it.
I don't want to waste our time agreeing to that, because that's another red herring. And when you suggested, Bernard Goldberg, that we don't want to put microphones in people's bedrooms, that was a red herring. We're talking about your acceptance of sexual vulgarity, degrading of women in our culture, not only in private,
but
on
TV. Tell me what the if I say I don't accept it, I should have something I want to do about it.
Well,
what is it we want to do about it?
That's a good point. And here's what I think you should say. You should say that I support sexual vulgarity in our culture in this box here, and that's my comfort zone. So I might not be the right standard bearer to try to fix the vulgarity in our culture, because I'm comfortable with it to a large degree.
Well,
I just want to restrain it a little.
But Bob, if that eliminates me from being able to comment on the culture,
no, you could,
then you're going to need Jesus to come back, because he'd be the only one who's without sin.
Let me take it further, and I'm not
without
sin.
We all draw a line someplace.
I will bet you anything
that there are people of faith,
yeah,
not just in the whole big wide world, not just in the United States, but within 10 miles from where you're sitting right now, who think that you come up short in the area of Christianity.
How about within 4 feet of me? How about I'm a former adulterer, Bernard Goldberg, and I've destroyed my family many years ago. So I'm not talking about this as from a higher, a self-righteous position, holier than thou. Now, another example. You point out, you say, and this is hard even to repeat, you say, regarding Janet Jackson showing her breast to the public, you said, I don't mind Janet Jackson showing me her breast or any other part of her body she wants to show me.
Yeah. You're reading it, no offense,
yeah,
but you're reading it as if I'm writing an encyclopedia. It was supposed to be funny, And my point was, I don't care if Janet Jackson wants to show me her breasts. I don't care if she wants to show me anything she's got.
Right.
But don't show it to the nation on Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
And then I said, it isn't even the vulgarity
right.
that annoys me as much as the rudeness. We invited her into our home to sing, not to get dressed in front of the family.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this. Now, you're pointing out how society is vulgar. Do you think it should be legal, as it is today, for men to pay women to have sex and videotape that sex and sell it in bookstores? Do you think that should be legal? Should it be legal for men?
That's not an area that I get into in the book. And by the way,
well, you're a standard bearer.
I couldn't figure out for a while, and I chalked this up to my denseness, that, you see, an author would like the audience to know the name of his book in case they want to buy it.
Yeah.
And it didn't register until the third time that you got the name of the book wrong.
I said the name of your book verbatim at the beginning of the show.
And then you went, okay, then you...
The 110 people who are screwing up America.
But the title offends you.
But that... No, Bernard, you're now dodging my question.
No, I'm asking, though. I'm not dodging the other one. It's not something I get involved in.
I read the title of the book at the beginning of the show. I just repeated it.
No. I'm saying the other thing that you think I'm dodging. I'm saying I don't get involved. I mean, asking me if I think pornography should be legal?
I want to know, if you think you're qualified to identify why the culture is vulgar and how to fix it, you should be able to know whether men have a right to sexually exploit women, have them perform sex acts, videotape it, and sell it. If you think, you as the standard bearer
for a more civil society. You're putting me on a pedestal that I don't belong on.
All right, do you think men have that right?
You don't think I belong on it for one reason. I don't think I belong on it for another reason.
Right, but do you think men have that right?
I'm not trying to turn America into the America that... Well, certainly, as I can tell from the past few minutes, even though I enjoy this conversation,
me too.
It's not I'm not trying to turn America into the America that you would feel comfortable
with. Right. So you do. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, but I'd like to know. But the America that you want may not be the one that I want.
Well, of course not. But I'd like to know if you think Bernard Goldberg. Let me interrupt my own show. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I'm interrupting because you're about to hear the end of the first half of the program in Denver. We end after a half hour. But don't go away, because then we will come back, and now back to the show. I'd like to know if you think, Bernard Goldberg, that men should have the right to sexually exploit women, videotape them.
Because it has nothing to do with the book.
It does. I'll tell you how.
It has nothing to do with
it. I'll tell you how it does, because I asserted that your standard of civility...
Are you going to ask me about... the kind of sex my wife and I have?
No, of course not. That would be inappropriate and rude. Asking you about public policy questions, and I asserted that your standard for morality...
I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I believe the Supreme Court has already ruled that pornography is legal in this country.
I asked you if it's right, if it should be right. Hey, do you want to continue this sometime, Bernard Goldberg?
Sometime down the road, sure.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha. This is Bob Enyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob and Yart Live. Our website is kgov.com. If you've missed any part of the first half of the show, you can go to our website, always, kgov.com. All right, that was Bernard Goldberg, and I'd like to talk through what just transpired in that interview. And he was right in that I think that the title of his book is unnecessarily crude. But it's not like I have a rule that says I can't quote the title of his book. If it were vulgar enough. If it were explicitly vulgar, I wouldn't quote the title of the book, but it's just generally part of the crudeness accepted in our culture that Bernard Goldberg is complaining about throughout his entire book. And in fact, in the book itself, he uses some rather crude words, very commonplace, whether it's excretory or sexual, and he'll criticize other people for using extremely vulgar words, and then he'll use the same words, making similar points as the people that he was criticizing. So it made me wonder, you know, is this man the right person to be a standard bearer that conservatives should raise up and say Bernard Goldberg understands what is wrong with the country and how to fix it? In fact, I believe, as with many issues, that conservatives, the things we are advocating, are the very things that have gotten us in trouble in the first place, and that we advocate things that we were appalled by only a few decades ago, and that is nowhere more true than among Christian conservatives, that we today advocate the things that we were most appalled by. So Bernard Goldberg quoted the last chapter of his book saying, here's what we need. Here's how to fix the problem. We need people to be more civil, mutual respect, decency. And I compared that to Rodney King in his naive statement, can't we just all get along? And the answer is no, you can't just all get along because of human nature. Liberals think humans are basically good, and right-wingers think that human beings are basically sinners. And so it's only the constraints of our institutions that ensure that people remain civil toward one another. When those institutions break down, you approach anarchy. And so God has established family, church, and government, and each of those with their sphere of responsibility and influence. And when those are very strong, then you can have a reasonably civil society. When those are weakened and when the foundation crumbles and they become immoral, then of course you lose that civil society. And so the examples that Bernard Goldberg fills his book with, just absolutely fills his book with, are examples of things he says, well, I think this should be legal. I think it should be legal. And I'll even defend it. I'll defend it in various contexts. But I just want it to be a little bit restrained. And so I view that as Pollyanna. That's the Rodney King syndrome. Can't we just all agree to be nicer? And the answer is no. If in fact you believe that men have the right to sexually exploit women, to have women have sex, videotape it, and sell that videotape in bookstores, then you are fundamentally a vulgar person, and you are part of the problem. You're not part of the solution of how to take our society back to a civil, respectful environment. You're part of the problem. So as he goes through these people, who did I mention? He talked about Michael Savage and Dr. Martin Haskell, the pioneer of partial birth abortion, and Howard Stern. And so regarding Michael Savage, he rightly criticized Michael Savage for his quote, which was despicable, when he said to a homosexual caller, you should only get AIDS and die, you pig. Now that's too hateful. If there's concern for a homosexual, it should be, you should repent. You should repent. You should live and not die. You should choose life. You should repent. If there's a child molester and that child molester is convicted, he should be put to death. But even then, he should be urged to repent. You need to repent for your sin, for your crime. You need to ask God to forgive you. In other words, we don't rejoice. We don't rejoice, as the Bible says, that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, even that is a multifaceted issue, but as a general rule, you don't wish wickedness and hell on your enemies. Okay. So anyway, but then Bernard Goldberg, so he rightly criticizes Michael Savage for that. And then, of course, he goes out of his way to say that homosexuality is fine, and if homosexuals want to walk down the street hand in hand, that that's absolutely fine. And, of course, he believes that, right? That's what he believes. And if we had more time, I would have liked to ask him since, and here on, let's see, we have here, let me quote him. I want an America where gays can walk down the street holding hands if they want and not have to worry that some blank is going to call them names. So he just called the people who call them names, call them names, right? And I'm not even going to read it because it's a vulgarity. He criticizes Michael Savage for how condemning he is of callers into his show. And then he mentions these daily talk shows where people get up there and they're trying to decide who impregnated who. And Bernard Goldberg says that these are losers. It's a parade of losers on the show. And so harsh talk is common on every side of pretty much all the issues. But the question is, what is your foundation? What is your standard? Are you justified in using your harsh talk? And I would have liked to ask Bernard Goldberg about the legitimizing of homosexuality, which has led to the tortured deaths of millions of people around the world. Millions. And try to explain to him that when you undermine sexual morality, then the unintended consequences are enormous, are absolutely enormous. Okay, so he talks about Michael Savage and Michael Savage's attitude toward homosexuality, but of course Bernard Goldberg thinks that homosexuality is a good thing. And he talks about Martin Haskell, who pioneered partial birth abortion, but then he says, well, on page 239, frankly, I don't care how anyone feels about abortion. He says, really, I don't care if you're pro-abortion. I don't care if abortion is legal. Just don't kill those babies that way, because that method offends me. Okay, so how about some other way? Because the ban on partial birth abortion, that's not going to save a single baby who's been scheduled to have an abortion, to be aborted, to be killed. If the partial birth abortion ban goes into effect, any abortion scheduled for the day that law goes in effect will still be performed, and the abortionist will just kill the baby using a different method. That's it. So we have Bernard Goldberg complaining about how crude our society is, and we see how superficial it is. Because he says, look at this, partial birth abortion. You start delivering the baby out of the womb, and then you kill it by putting a knife in the back of the baby's head and sucking out his brains. That's crude. I don't care if you want to kill babies. Just do it in a way that doesn't offend me. Do it in a way where I don't have to know about it, or I don't have to know the details. And then he talks about Howard Stern, and he gives examples ad nauseum of how disgusting Howard Stern is, and that's easy to do. That's easy to do. But then, you notice he said it was really a straw dummy. He said, oh, you want to control how people speak in private? No, I didn't say that. But I don't want to defend the Vice President of the United States when he uses the F word, not only, oh, okay, in a private conversation, as an official part of his duties. He's talking as the Vice President of the United States to a lawmaker, and he's that personally vulgar, filthy-mouthed, and crude. So, yeah, we shouldn't defend that. But then he tried to make it sound like, oh, you're just, you want to control how people speak in the privacy of their own homes. And in reality, Bernard Goldberg is willing to allow that kind of filth on our public airways, on the airwaves, right? And he says, oh, it was the family hour. And so then, you know, I don't mind if it's late at night, if these women want to flash the talk show hosts or the programs they're on broadcast TV on. I don't mind if it's late at night. And then it turns out he doesn't mind if it's in the morning. And he says, he says, I'm afraid. I'm afraid even in the morning they have the right, Howard Stern has the right to be as crude, vulgar, and sexual as could be on the public airwaves that our government manages for the common good. He defends even that. So there's a fundamental standard of morality. And when you are off that standard, then where is the logical place to take a stand? Well, it becomes very subjective and idiosyncratic with the individual. It turns out it's just whatever I don't like. Whatever I don't like, because I don't actually have a standard. I think sexual immorality should be legal, is Bernard Goldberg's position, even though he didn't want to own up to it at the end, and he gave a couple different reasons why he didn't want to answer the question. We know his answer, that he believes, yes, that men should have the right to sexually exploit women. He believes that that should be the case. And the last time I've been accused of being an American Taliban, when was that? That was today in an email. Today. Last time. And we like to point out, as we have since we went to war in Afghanistan, that you have the Taliban who cover a woman from head to toe. They say it's criminal unless a woman is covered from head to toe. And then you have the liberals in America who make it legal to strip a woman totally naked and put video cameras all around her while she's engaging in public sex acts, and they sell that in stores. And so those are two immoral positions, two criminal positions. And the conservative Christian position is that sexual immorality should be criminalized. And in public, there's just modesty. Just modesty. And so on that issue, believe it or not, you know, we're not big fans of middle of the road. We're not fans of being middle of the road, because that allows other people to define who you are. If you brag about being a moderate, that means you actually don't have an anchor. You don't have a mooring, a foundation. You just go with the flow of the culture, and you go somewhere in the middle, and you allow other people to define who you are. You're in between those two people, and wherever they move, you're in the middle. So we don't really brag about being middle of the road or moderates. But on that issue, conservative Christians are in the middle of the Taliban and the American liberal. And not only the American liberal, but the vast majority of conservatives and even conservative Christians who have thrown aside the very concern over sexual immorality, and they have legitimized sex outside of marriage, even to the extent of videotaping it and selling it. And they say they're concerned. And they say they decry how our culture is becoming vulgar. And yet the ones who decry this, their own positions are responsible for where we're at. We didn't get here overnight. We didn't get here instantly. We got here in stages. And what does it take to maintain a civil society? What does it take? Well, it takes strong institutions, strong family, strong church, and strong government. That's what it takes to remain sexually moral. And so when you have the conservatives, and this has become the big line, and these guys who are not Christian, but they're conservatives, like Bill O'Reilly on Fox News and Bernard Goldberg here and so many others, when you have them maintaining over and over and over that we're pro-homosexual and we support legalized pornography, and we don't care if people are, being unfaithful to their spouses, as long as they're adults and they're consenting adults. And we don't care about this, and we don't care about this, and we don't care about that. And actually, we're rather voyeuristic in our personal interests, and on and on and on, but we care about that detail over there. Then that becomes absurd, because the ones who are criticizing the vulgarity in the culture are the ones who have enabled it. It's like the Christian politicians who say, I'm pro-life, except for these particular kinds of babies, you know, a baby whose father is a criminal or something like that. I'm pro-life, except I think you should be able to kill a baby whose father is a criminal. And I think you should be able to kill this baby here and this baby over here in the hard cases. And then we point out to them that that's exactly the position that started us down the path of killing 50 million babies. Because when abortion was first legalized almost 40 years ago in Colorado and signed into law by our Republican governor, then back then it was just for the hard cases. It was for the rape and the baby who's handicapped or the life of the mother. It was for the hard cases. And so you have conservative Christians whose position is identical to the position, virtually identical, to the position that led us to the slaughter of 50 million innocent children, and now you have the Christian masses who support that position, when they forget that just four decades ago, that was the position out of hell itself, and now we support it. And the same thing with those who complain about immorality in our culture, the vulgarity in our culture, and it's their own position. Their own position. Even from our leaders, even in the conduct of their official business, even on the airwaves, even on radio, even in the morning when kids are driving to school with their family or friends. Even. And then Bernard Goldberg conceded a point I wish he had not. He said some have criticized his book, saying Al-Qaeda is more dangerous to America than our sexually degrading culture. And he said, of course, that's true. And of course, that's not true. Because Al-Qaeda so far has succeeded in killing 3,000 Americans here on our homeland. And sexual immorality has killed how many? How many have had their lives destroyed by sexual immorality? It's hard to estimate. What percentage of murders are directly related to sexual unfaithfulness in relationships? What percentage? What percentage of people who die from the results, direct or indirect, from sexually transmitted diseases? What percentage of people who are alcoholics and drug addicts have gotten into that condition because they're trying to cover up their guilt or shame or despair from sexual immorality? Right? What percentage of prostitutes and strippers, for example, are alcoholics and drug addicts trying to cover up the shame of their profession? What percentage? What percentage of kids grow up without a mom and a dad because someone was unfaithful and it tore their family apart and their hearts were ripped out of their chest because their whole world was destroyed because of someone's sexual immorality? So I wanted to tell Bernard Goldberg about Abu Ghraib, and he gets it right in his book, how the liberals really, they just celebrated Abu Ghraib because it was an excuse to condemn America. And I wanted to drop it in his ear that Abu Ghraib was the Howard Stern front in the war on terror. Right, the Howard Stern front, because those committing those crimes in Abu Ghraib, basically, they were the Howard Stern fan club. They were doing what Howard Stern does on his show, even with people who may be willing or may not be willing, and he's attempting to humiliate them. So that's the battle we're in, and it's not a complex battle, but we conservative Christians, we have to have the wisdom to understand the battle. We have to watch out who we make our heroes, like Condoleezza Rice, George W. Bush, a liberal, George W. Bush, nominated Condoleezza Rice. He selected her to be his Secretary of State. And the Christians are pretty much in love with her. And she spoke, what, to the Southern Baptist a week ago? And she basically chided them that they better calm down on this issue of homosexual marriage. They better be put in their place and behave. Now, she said it in a way that she was criticizing them, and they applauded anyway. And she's pro-abortion, right? So she's pro-abortion, radically pro-homosexual, and she's a liberal. Now, she's fighting the war on terror. I'm thankful for that. But FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, fought the Nazis and the Germans, and he was liberal, and his wife was a lesbian. Sounds like the Clintons. And so just because Bush and Condoleezza Rice are fighting the war on terror doesn't mean that they have not conceded fundamental moral issues. Like homosexuality is a good thing. But for political reasons, because of the polls, George W. Bush will oppose homosexual marriage. But homosexuality itself, it's a good thing. He's proud of the judges he's appointed that promote the homosexual agenda. And abortion, George W. Bush is proud of the judges he has appointed who use their authority to keep abortion legal. He's proud of those judges. So we have to realize that there is a fundamental moral foundation to our public policy views, and that's what we have to defend: God's word, God's principles.